come, Holy Spirit. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak. Great to be back with you as this week we're going to look at the Mass readings for Pentecost Sunday. This is a big day. And look, I'm going to explain some things. We will look at the Mass readings for Pentecost Sunday. But I also want to address some of what I think are the common problems associated with this solemnity today. And, and honestly, one of the big problems that we can face is that we look at this event, which was something that happened in history approximately 2,000 years ago. We look at it as a one-time event, something that happened. And yes, it was a big deal. It was the birth of the church. The Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles and the members of the early church, giving them the power of Jesus. So it is a big deal. It did happen. But what you and I have to remember is that we have the power of the Holy Spirit working in the church. Fortunately, the Holy Spirit is still guiding the church. But as members of the church, right, the Holy Spirit guides each one of us because we have also received the Holy Spirit when we were baptized. So it's a really important thing, and we don't want to just put this event, this celebration today, off to the past as something that happened once. Yes, it did. It was something that happened at a period in history, but the Holy Spirit, the newness of the Holy Spirit, is something that we got to remember each day of our lives. And that prayer, come Holy Spirit, those three words which I opened this show with, they are important words. That is an important prayer. And it sounds too simple, doesn't it? Three words, come Holy Spirit. But actually, that is one of the most powerful prayers that any one of us could ever pray. So that's really the concern. I wasn't sure when I was going to address it in the program. I guess I just did it now. But it's something we really want to think about. Let's not just view this event, the original Pentecost Sunday, as something that happened in the past. Let's look at it anew, each day. I mean, certainly each year we want to celebrate this descent of the Holy Spirit. But each day, you and I are called to invite the Holy Spirit to come alive in us and to be able to enable us to think, to speak, and to act as Jesus did. That's powerful. That is powerful stuff. So we're going to look at these readings. I hope you'll be able to join me for the entire program. It is great to be with you today. As always, I love doing these programs, and I thank you for all of your kind words about the show, all of your prayers, all of your financial donations to keep me going. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's just a real blessing. Now, depending on when you listen to this week, we're going to go back into ordinary time. So Pentecost Sunday concludes the Easter season. And, we've been at this for a long time. Before Easter, we were doing Lent. Now we did the Easter season, and now we wrap it all up with Pentecost Sunday. So it's a big day, but it's really not an ending. I don't want to call it an ending. It really is a beginning. Just as Christmas Day is the beginning of life with the birth of the Savior of Jesus, of walking with Jesus. Now we're going to continue throughout the remainder of the liturgical year with the help of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to have that Holy Spirit. And, a lot of this is, it's really just a way for us to better grasp how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Same with the birth of Jesus. He was born once. He was born 2,000 years ago. The Holy Spirit descended upon the church one time initially. But we want to somehow harness that power, that awe of the presence of Jesus, of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And by celebrating these special days, we're able to do that. That's why the church doesn't want us to forget what happened when the Holy Spirit first descended upon the members of the early church. So we're going to relive that today as we go through these readings. Again, I'm so happy that you're with me. Why don't we do this? Let's kick off the program with prayer, and then we'll move on and look at the Mass readings. So we begin, as we always do, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for coming to us. Thank you for dwelling in us. Thank you for working in us. Thank you for your willingness to transform us into the image of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come alive in us. I invite you to guide us. Let us know what the Father wants us to do. Make His will known to us. Give us the fortitude, the strength, to be able to continue doing His will, even when it's difficult. Holy Spirit, please give me the words as I do this program. Let me know what I should say about each of the scripture passages that we'll be reading. Please guide each of us. Open our minds up so that we could hear your message today and act upon it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Please come alive in us. Please guide us as well as your church. And Holy Spirit, we ask these things of you in the name of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Father, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, here's something really interesting. I always, just about always, at the start of this program, I dedicate the initial prayer. I direct the initial prayer to the Father. You know, if you're a listener to the program, you realize that I always speak Heavenly Father. I had intended to do that today, but for some reason, when I started, the words came out, Holy Spirit. So, at that point, I thought, you know, I'm just going to continue on with this prayer to the Holy Spirit. And it's really a good practice. I think that's pretty cool. I really do feel that's an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Because, look, I always ask the Spirit to lead me when I start these shows. Because I don't want to take off in a direction that the Spirit doesn't want me to go in. So even though I'm speaking to the Father somewhere during the prayer, if you listen to my opening prayers, I always say, Father, send me your Holy Spirit to guide me in my thoughts and my words. But it was very interesting that I feel that the Holy Spirit wanted me to pray directly to Him, which is acceptable. I mean, you certainly want to speak to all persons of the Trinity. And I thought it just worked out well that way. I like that. So I really do believe the Holy Spirit is working with us today. And again, thank you for tuning into the program. My name is Gary Zimek. We do this show each week, 30 minutes each week, and I thank you for listening to the show. However you do it, I'm just glad that you are able to listen, whether it's through a podcast service or whether it's over the air through one of our many Catholic stations that airs the program. I'm just grateful that you're able to join me. If you want to find out more about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. Since we last spoke, by the way, and I put this information on the website, my latest book, or my next book, is going to be coming out in early August. And I think it's August the 8th might be the release date. It'll probably be out a few days before then. But it's called Lord Save Me. It's a book of prayers. When you need the Lord to be real, you know, we've all been in those situations where we are so desperate that we need the Lord to be real to us. Sometimes it's easy to pray when things are going well, and, you know, you can kind of get into that spiritual thing, and, yes, Father, please help with this and that, but it's not an emergency, you know, those situations. But when you're in the storm and you need Him to be real, as I have experienced many times in my life, He is real, no doubt about it. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are real persons, but sometimes you need them to be even more real than others. You know what I mean? So this book I wrote, series of prayers and biblical reflections when you need the Lord to be real and when you're in an urgent situation. I wrote this book when I was going through some stuff myself, and it was a very difficult period for me. So it's a very personal book. As are all of my books, but this one was written at a time when I was really struggling. So I think you're going to enjoy the book. Again, it's a series of reflections based on different situations you may encounter. And it's an easy read, but one which contains prayers and scripture passages. So you'll hear more about it. Lord Save Me is the name of the book. It is available for pre-order now. You can pre-order the book now by going to followingthetruth.com, and you can check out the books page to find out more about it. You'll be hearing more about the book as we get closer to the release date. Okay, you can also sign up for my daily email reflection at followingthetruth.com. Book me to come into your parish or your conference to speak, and you can also make a donation to my ministry while you're there. So all those things are available at followingthetruth.com. All right, got the business out of the way. Now let's take a look at the Mass readings for Pentecost Sunday. And, you know, looking through these, they are not especially lengthy, but they're powerful. And again, as I said at the beginning of the show, what we really want to do is focus on the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is not just some wimpy spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit which led Jesus, His own Spirit. He gives us His Spirit. It's the Spirit of Jesus living in us, enabling us to, as I said in the prayer, to think, to speak, and to act as Jesus did. You know, so if we can harness the Spirit, and please excuse my words here, because it's difficult sometimes to use imperfect wording, which is what we have. You know, we're limited in our expression. Imperfect wording to describe a divine mystery, right? You can only come so close. But using my imperfect intellect and imperfect wording, I'm just going to say, the Holy Spirit can literally transform us into Jesus. It doesn't mean we become divine, we become God. That's not it at all. But through the work of the Holy Spirit in me, I can be Jesus to those around me. Now, obviously, there's going to be some shortcomings there, because the Holy Spirit can't force me to do anything. I have free will. So there's going to be times when, even though I might not realize it, I may be fighting against the Holy Spirit or not fully cooperating with the grace that the Holy Spirit gives me. But if I let the Holy Spirit work in me, I can continue the work of Jesus and be Him to those around me. It's a powerful, powerful thing. So with that in mind, let's look at the readings for Pentecost Sunday. We'll begin, as we always do on this program, with the gospel. Then we'll back up and look at the first reading, the responsorial psalm, and the second reading. And I think sometimes it's easier to see the connection between all the readings than others. This is going to be an easy one, because all of these readings are going to be discussing or focusing on the power of the Holy Spirit. So the gospel is John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. Jesus said to His disciples, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to be with you always." Now, this is a reference to the Holy Spirit, Jesus sending the Holy Spirit to us. And He goes on to say, "Whoever loves Me will keep My word, and My Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Those who do not love Me do not keep My words. Yet the word you hear is not Mine, but that of the Father who sent Me. I have told you this while I am still with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." So we see this reference to Jesus, the Father sending the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name to us. And we do have the Holy Spirit present in us. When we're baptized, we first receive the Holy Spirit. I think there's some confusion about that oftentimes. We typically associate the Holy Spirit with the sacrament of confirmation, and that's definitely the case. But the first time we receive the Holy Spirit is through the sacrament of baptism. And what confirmation does is strengthen the presence of the Spirit in us to equip us to really be adult disciples. You know, I mean, that's generally what happens, or more mature disciples of the Lord to deal with the real world situations we face in life with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's basically a two-part sacrament, baptism and confirmation. They're two parts of the same sacrament. And in some cases, I know in the Eastern Church, baptism and the confirmation, as well as the Eucharist, are given at the same time. So, you know, in the Western Catholic Church, we often view the sacraments of baptism and confirmation as being two separate sacraments, which they are, but they're really like a 1-2 punch, if you want to call it that. I know that's not good terminology, but you get what I mean. They're related. They're related. Typically, when infants are baptized, and I understand adults get baptized too, and a lot of times you will see at an Easter vigil, for example, when adults come into the church, they'll receive baptism, the Eucharist, and confirmation all at the same time. But with an infant, because we as Catholic Christians believe that baptism is necessary for salvation, we baptize infants. We want to give them that sacrament as soon as possible. But in order to really consciously make a decision to embrace that sacrament of baptism and be disciples, members of the church, we delay confirmation for a few years until there's more of a maturity involved. I mean, still, it's typically given when children are relatively young, but at that point, they're dealing with more concrete adult-type situations where they need to be able to defend the faith and really exercise judgment when it comes to real-life problems using their faith. So we give them that booster shot, if you want to call it that, of the Holy Spirit during the sacrament of confirmation. But the Holy Spirit's necessary. We are not going to be able to live Christian lives, lead souls to Christ, and make it to heaven without the Holy Spirit working in us. So now let's back up, look at the first reading, and we're going to read about the first descent of the Holy Spirit on the early church. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his native language? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." So when we look at this reading, the first reading for the Solemnity of Pentecost, we see this really visible and powerful manifestation of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit descended on the early church. And, you know, we can look at this as, again, something that happened in the past. But this same power of the Holy Spirit is available to you and me. Now, this is where it gets tricky. This was a very visible and awesome and profound outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So much so that people are speaking, different people from different lands are basically speaking the same language. They're understanding. There's a unity there. They're understanding one another. And that's one of the functions of the Holy Spirit. As he works in the church, it's a uniting work that the Holy Spirit does. Unites the church. And that's great. that even though we can go to different countries and worship may look a little different, overall, we have one common body of belief, the truth for our Catholic Church. And that's a great thing, and that's due to the power of the Holy Spirit. I would say don't get hung up in looking at the way things were on this first Pentecost and looking at the way the Holy Spirit works in your life and think that, well, you got shortchanged. You didn't. It's just that the Holy Spirit from time to time will manifest himself in a big way, as is the case here. Many of you may remember the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, which was very big. It's still around today, but very big in the 70s and the late 60s, 70s. I got to experience that. That was incredibly powerful. The Holy Spirit was working in the church in a very visible and powerful way. The Holy Spirit is still working in the church. But, there comes a time when the Spirit backs off a little bit. Still is working, but you're not going to see the visible, jaw-dropping manifestations all the time. They still exist. They still could happen. But, it's just a matter of trusting the Spirit to show up in the way that the Spirit's supposed to show up. And that sometimes means in a really visible manner, but other times a more subtle manner. I just want you to understand that you have the full power of the Holy Spirit, that same power of the Spirit that was available to those early members of the church that we just read about. That Spirit is available to you. And I think we need to know that, don't you think, sometimes? Because we can get a little, what's the word I'm looking for? We can get a little casual, a little bit complacent when it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And I think it's good to remind ourselves that we have that Spirit, that power that was available to the early Christians. And once we know that, that's going to change the way we operate as Christians. At least I think it's going to change the way we pray. It's going to change the way we speak. It's going to change the way we evangelize, knowing that we have the Holy Spirit working in us. So let's look at the responsorial psalm, Psalm 104. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are great indeed. How manifold are your works, O Lord. The earth is full of your creatures. If you take away their breath, they perish and return to their dust. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord be glad in his works. Pleasing to him be my theme. I will be glad in the Lord. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. I mean, let's face it, we need the Spirit to be active in the world today. And that's up to you and I to really tap into that power of the Spirit so we can go out there and evangelize, share Jesus with power, the power that we've been equipped with through the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the second reading. St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 8 through 17. Brothers and sisters, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit. If only the Spirit of God dwells in you, whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, through his Spirit that dwells in you. Consequently, brothers and sisters, we are not debtors to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption, through whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If only we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Now look, there's a lot in that reading, But essentially what you and I have to remember, I think, is that if we let the Spirit of Christ, which Paul refers to, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, work in us, then we can be transformed into Jesus. And again, remember, I'm using imperfect language to describe a divine concept. But we can really be Jesus to those around us and continue the work of Jesus on earth by using, or really by tapping into that power of the Holy Spirit. You and I have that power, that same power that showed itself to those early Christians. We have that power when we were baptized and confirmed. We got the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit will not force himself to work in our lives. We have to cooperate with the grace the Spirit gives us. And really, that's what this is all about. This day, we commemorate the Holy Spirit descending upon the church and the members of the church. And as members of the church, we individually each possess that Holy Spirit in us. So when you're trying to be good, when you're trying to share the Lord with others, when you're trying to make a decision, what does God want me to do? Remember that you have the Holy Spirit. You have power. And it's not a wimpy power, as I said earlier. It's a powerful power, so that you can think, speak, and act with the mind of Jesus. What a great thing. What a great thing. Well, listen, I want to thank you for listening to the program today. I look forward to joining you next week. Again, we'll be in ordinary time, but we got a couple big days coming up. Next Sunday, the church commemorates Trinity Sunday, the Most Holy Trinity, followed by the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ, Corpus Christi. So even though we're headed back into ordinary time, we're going to celebrate some very special days in the Sundays to come. So enjoy it. This is a really great time of year. We're now in the month of June, which is the month dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So please don't forget that. Please don't forget Jesus, how much he loves you and how much he is willing to help you, so much so that he gave you his Spirit to help you be like him, okay? If you have any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Head on over to followingthetruth.com, my website, if you want to find out more information or pre-order my new book. And know that I'm praying for you. I would ask if you wouldn't mind, please pray for me and my family. God bless you. Thanks for listening. We look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.